Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
There are so many brilliant stories from you guys, but yes, I will read a quick one. This was one of my favorites.
Lovely.
This is Catherine.
She's already gone. This is it.
Okay. Hi, Esther and Holly. Love the podcast. Been listening since episode one, and it never fails to bring a smile to my face. Thanks. I'm sorry, I really am. A theme of this episode is self-love by reading everybody's compliments too much. But thank you very much, Catherine. That is incredibly kind, and I'm very glad. I thought you might like my wall of shame story. It's a walking one, but still, it was in the great outdoors. We were walking through a wood, and my friend decided to wee in said woods. I hopped over a stile into an open field. I did a quick look around and thought the coast was clear. Mid-wee, I happened to glance up to make eye contact with a glider pilot flying directly towards me. He looked amused. Oh, it's just so silly, the idea of the two of them like having eye contact while it's like hovering low.
Like, and I just keep on imagining what when I
I'm thinking she was completely alone.
Welcome to episode 183 of the Women's Running Podcast. I'm your host, Esther Newman, and she's your other host, Holly Taylor. On this podcast, we talk about health, politics, stuff on TV, and what we ate last night. Occasionally, we talk about running. I've just got back from Barcelona, where I ran a half marathon, and there is much to discuss. Yes, we do talk about the race itself, which was lovely, but we quite rightly spend much of the time talking about food, hotels, and lovely touristy things. We then start on one of our first controversies this episode, which is the hated for us running expo. What's it for? Who likes it? Isn't it just a capitalist construct, a bit like Valentine's Day? Second controversy is Strava. How do you feel about being stalked slightly on Strava? Do you enjoy recording your runs on there? Do you feel pressured to achieve on there? Or do you just slightly ignore it like I do? And on to our third controversy of the day, which is Parkrun and its recent decision to remove data, including speed records. We have some thoughts and we're sure you have too. Do get in touch and we'll carry this on in a future pod as we didn't have much time left to talk about it here. Email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk. Which just leaves enough time to say that you must subscribe to Women's Running right now because you'll save 50% off the cover price and you'll get a copy of our How to Run 5K guide absolutely free. If you don't need it because you're scampering over mountains, it will make a friend very happy indeed. Go to womensrunning.co.uk/bundle to get the deal.
Well, I think we should
I'm sorry, I'm going to do yawning this
week.
Look
at my notes. Look at my notes from Barcelona. Look how I stopped doing them after maybe 3 minutes. What twat.
Well, I'm so excited to hear about it. Disclaimer, yeah, if I yawn, I'm not bored. If anyone's watching the video or can hear my yawns, just doing it loads today, but there's no point reading into it too much.
Just
doesn't
yawning.
Mean anything.
Doesn't mean anything.
I'm just yawning. In fact, I saw somebody reframe it the other day where they were like, oh, it's your body trying to tell you that everything is okay. It's trying to reassure you that everything's functioning absolutely fine.
Well, there you go.
There you go. It's probably subconscious because we're having our survey done as we speak. So I'm scared he's finding like killer rats in the basement or something.
Yeah, it's been built on plasticine or something. Yeah.
Yeah, something that. Like that.
Horrid.
Yeah.
How exciting.
Very excited to discover it's on an Indian burial ground or something.
Obviously. Oh, and yeah, actually the truth is, although it won't be Indian burial grounds, it's the
I don't even know what that is really.
No, nor do I, but no. it's the limestone concern, isn't it, in Bath. It's the fact that everything's built on spongy stone, which lets in loads of water. So, God.
Yeah, and within the searches, you have to have something called a Bath Stone search, I think, don't you? Yeah. I hope that our solicitor sorted that out. I need to speak to her. Sorry, dull, but you did say that there's going to be like radon content or something, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, radon.
Yeah.
Which still sounds like it's something that gets rid of fleas. But yeah, there is a concern about that.
I think somebody on the phone, because I didn't go through maybe they are local. I'm not sure. I can't remember. Mm. But I went through a chartered surveyor, and they were a bigger company, basically. So the person I was speaking to on the phone wasn't the person who's going to do the survey today. He was just a salesy, nice guy called Cyril. Shout out to him. I invited him to the housewarming party. We got on like a house on fire. And he was like, he literally mentioned that at one point where he was like, just to check stuff like whether there's radon present and stuff. And I was like, I think it's going to be. And he went, and to make sure there's no mines nearby. It's literally the site of the limestone quarry.
Yeah.
Oh, well, never mind.
Never mind. It'll be fine.
Never mind. I don't think the mines are in use anymore because they're full of bats. So no one can do anything with them because all the bats are protected.
Okay.
Yeah.
It'll be
are
fine.
People enjoying this content?
Sure they're loving survey content. Always. If we can move on to conveyancing in the next episode, that would be marvellous. Yeah.
Exciting. But you've got much more exciting things to tell us about. I am buzzing. I feel quite rude. I want to let you know that I haven't been ignoring asking you about how Barcelona's been. I've been waiting to hear about it in one big sermon from the Mount in the form of this podcast.
I love my sermons.
How was it?
Oh, it was, I don't know if I've got the words. Of course I've got the words. It was great. It was great. Mm-hmm. It was hard. It was beautiful. It was tiring. It really hurt, and it was great. So it was just like, it was all those
Sounds
things.
Like a good half.
Yeah. Not bad, right? it was just, it was amazing. I think, what should I go through first? Should I go through the race first, or should I go through the whole thing first?
I kind of want to hear first maybe a little bit about the trip and what it is that you did, because I'm presuming that the half was on the last day, on the Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah. But you arrived sometime on the Friday. So I kind of want to hear about, like, what did you see? Did you see any Gaudi? Did you eat any tapas?
Oh, my God, we did lots of stuff. Before I even got there, though, there was a bit of a delay on the flight. And, which I was fine with. So I was going out with, the whole thing was me going out with Brooks, and there was like a whole bunch of people going out. Loads
Esther's
of kind of
out with Brooks. Esther and Brooks sitting in a tree.
Oh, absolutely. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. We were going, there was loads of us all together, lots and lots of kind of European contingent, kind of lots of European journalists and whatever. And there was like a small group of UKers.
So a couple of people from Run Testers. There was a lovely woman from Runner's World, and there was Charlie Watson, Runner Beans.
Nice friend of the pod.
And Emily, whose second name I'm now going to completely forget, the slow runner.
Yes, everybody keeps saying that we need to get her on the pod. I would love to have her on the pod, amazing. But also, would it just be three people talking about slow running?
Same thing.
The same thing.
Okay. I still don't know what her second name is, but Runs with Emily, that's her Instagram. Mm-hmm. She was absolutely lovely. Everyone was really lovely. And we were all kind of gathering together in Barcelona to run this half, but also because, like, Brooks does this about once every year where they gather everyone together, and it's usually coincides with the launch of one or two of their big shoes. And so this one was all about Glycerin 21, which was just coming out, and the Hyperion Elite 4. Unsurprisingly, I chose to run in the Glycerin 21. I'm not going to do carbon.
Of course there were. Mike from Run all of them was there, but he did that.
Oh my God. Me and Emily were the only ones, I think, running in the Glycerins. I think everyone else was in Hyperions. It was Hyperion Central. It's lush. But I tell you what, you would have loved the flight, because there I was. I sat down in the seat, and I was in a group of three, and I was on the outside of it, and in the middle was a chap, and on the far side was a young woman. And the chap in the middle was kind of, I don't know, probably had five. No, he was retired. So he was probably about 10 years older than me. And that's a frightening thing to say. And he was just Holly in chap form.
Oh,
he was so lovely, and he just wanted to chat. So he sat down, and he immediately turned around to me and went, "Oh, so are you traveling for business or pleasure?" And I was like, "Oh, Jesus Christ." I was expecting to sit in silence all the way. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, we had this massive chat.
Were you quite looking
forward
to sitting in silence?
I was, but to be honest, I'd had four coffees and I was ready for it. So it was all good.
And you're a bit of a nervous flyer, so he could put you at ease.
He did. He did
text me before taking off saying, "I wish that I had you as my wing woman, making sure." But you did.
It was fine.
A guardian angel arrived in the form of a 6-year-old bloke.
Oh, he was so lovely. Aww. And there was even, they did, the pilot said, "Oh, we're going to hit a bit of turbulence," before we took off. And so I immediately just went, "Oh," like this.
And you embraced each other and kissed.
Yeah. It was so similar to that. So similar. Yeah. I think he just sort of gave me a bit of a wry smile. But either way, it was enough.
Aww.
And the woman on the other side was running her first ever half, and that's why she was going there.
Aww.
So we had chats, and then and this guy in the middle was
she's listening.
Yeah, she was really lovely. And the guy in the middle was there with, like, he was going with 20 other people in his family, and like eight of them were running the Bath half, and the rest of them were going to be cheering on from the side. And it just sounded so, anyway, we had loads of chats, loads of big chats. And
so everyone on this flight was a runner, do you think?
Apart from the Hindus. So like good. Mm-hmm. Two Hindus, one blow up man, and some runners. So that was what it was. So it was, it was good fun, good times. And then we were staying in probably one of the this is probably saying more than anyone really wants to know, but one of the nicest hotels in Barcelona, but certainly the most easy.
Everyone is going to want to know all of these details. This is the kind of shit that I want to hear.
It was so nice. Bearing in mind the last hotel I stayed at, not to badmouth sharing a room with you, my sweet. Mm-mm. But you know, the last one we were in was Brown Hotel, and we had little prison beds with our knees
tucked in, like, didn't we? It was like being two chocolate fingers tucked in.
This was, I think, the same group that did our New York hotel. So it's the same sort of room as that. And it was so lovely. And I was 22 floors up with this view of Barcelona and the kind of, and the coast. Oh my God, it was absolutely gorgeous.
Was it a Marriott?
I think it was. A Marriott Bovey. Yeah, or Bonvoy or whatever.
That shampoo and conditioner that I like.
No, it was better.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
it was Diptyque.
Oh my God.
I know. And there was a sort of PASAG message that they put on the body cream, which said something like, oh, do help yourself to this. You're going to absolutely love it. If you'd like to buy it, it costs you 70 quid. So what?
Like, don't steal it. We're on
to
you.
Steal.
Yeah. Suitcases and I will had, be scanned on the way out.
I had one packet of crisps from the minibar, and do you know how much it cost me?
Okay, should I guess?
Go on then. Packet of crisps. Not family size, just a normal size.
Just a normal size. €2.50.
€14.99.
What?
I know.
That's the most shocking thing I've heard in weeks.
I know.
$14.99 for a packet of what? Like, talk me through the size. Grab bag.
Grab bag size.
Okay.
Grab bag size. So maybe 40 grams or something like that, but not share pack size. So it wasn't your 15 grammer, but my God. Yeah. I know.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's nuts. But I talk know. Me through the
that's gonna be the soundbite, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Dave, the shock.
Send that into the BBC watchdog.
Astonishing. However,
oh my gosh. I do want to think very quickly about your our favorite thing when we go to a hotel. What was in that tray where you get the tea bags and maybe some biscuits and
slightly upsetting. It was like the last Marriott. Like it was an espresso machine. So yes, big thumbs up for that. Mm-hmm. But no little biscuits. And I think that's because they had a tray to the right of it with all these kind of mini bar things that you then had to pay for.
Okay,
but Nespresso was nice, and also I had a lovely guy that came to replenish minibar essentials the following day, and he said, do you need anything from the minibar? And by that stage I hadn't had my $14.99 packet of crisps. So I said no, and I said, but I've had quite a bit of the coffee. And he said, which ones do you prefer? And I wasn't sure, and he said, oh, I have this. And he gave me two massive handfuls of Nespresso pods, so I could have sort of eight coffees or something. So
yeah, an Estonian supply.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Loved him very much. But yeah, so the hotel was lush.
Love it. Okay.
Lovely. Although in high winds, you could hear it moving. So I'm not sure you would have enjoyed that particularly.
No.
There was definitely some creaking.
Oh, so, my God. Yeah. What did you see and do? What were your highlights? Highlights, what we do on the Taylor family holiday. We do, and this is not race included, this is just like the Barcelona experience. We do high spot, low spot. What was your high spot? What was your low spot? Sorry, I put you on the spot.
You have put me on the spot with all your spots. High spot, we went to the Gaudi Park, and I forgot what it's called now, but you know,
Park
the
one well.
That's it. Yep. Yeah. We went there, and I'd never been, and it was absolutely brilliant and beautiful and unbelievable and lush.
Gorge.
So, loved that. Loved that very, very, very much.
Were there, because I've only been once, which was on a school trip in year nine, that I remember very fondly. I remember getting told off actually because we all decided to swim in the sea. Classic school.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? Something, apparently. But in the park, there was, were there still all those people with where they lay out blankets and then they put fake handbags on them and then they all suddenly go, police, and bundle them up and run away?
I think the police had come by the time we arrived. So there were no street hawkers when we were there. They've kept it. It's very, very vigorously sort of policed about who can go
really?
In.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So maybe that's changed since I went in 2009 or whatever it
changed.
Was.
Things have changed. But yeah, it was beautiful and it was lovely. And we were strolling around on a Saturday. We'd picked up our bib numbers by that stage. So I'm racing ahead here, but
Sorry, I'm making you race ahead.
No, that's okay. But yeah, no, just wandering around and looking at all the mosaics and, you know, lovely, lovely stuff. And just the views from that park are great, aren't they? Because you can see right over the whole of Barcelona. And
it's quite hilly, Barcelona, isn't it, in my memory?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like the kind of the centre bit and down to the beach is all like flat. It's all kind of Somerset levels. And then it all goes up, doesn't it? At the end, it goes up towards that park. So, yeah. But it was lovely, and we were.
I am so jealous. I'm almost tempted to book a spontaneous trip to Barcelona.
Oh, it was so good, and oh my god, the warmth of it as well. I miss it so much.
What kind of temps are we talking?
It was like a drizzly grey, kind of 14 degrees on the Saturday, but on the Sunday it was up to kind of t-shirt weathery, kind of 18, like lots of sun in the afternoon. Like really, really gutted I didn't have sunglasses with me, and it was just blue skies and just nuts, lovely. It was really, really
good. I'm going to book a holiday this summer. I can't stand to hear about this.
So nice. It was so nice. Yeah.
Oh,
so
it sounds incredible. Did you see the Sagrada Familia, at least from a distance?
From a distance. Yeah.
Still working on it?
And it was still working. I was going to send you a text and I ran out of data. Because it had a little, there was a little crane at the top. So I was like, look, still working on it.
When I went on said school trip in 2009, they said it was going to finish in 2016.
Yeah, not.
What a crock of shit.
Crock of shit. They've been saying that for years. Yeah. And years, well, like 100 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was really beautiful. So like, so got in Friday night and, Friday afternoon, and we had a little mooch about, and then we had supper and were kind of lectured to about shoes, which no one wants to hear about on this particular podcast. But that was all kind of exciting. There's a massive launch that Brooks are coming out with in autumn, which I can't say what it is, but I am never ever excited about shoes. Not really, but I am really excited about this.
Are you?
I'm really excited about this. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's right up my strata. So it's like, oh, this is going to be amazing. So anyway, that's autumn. And we will let you know what that is when we get it, I guess. And then, Saturday.
That's ages to wait.
I know. We might be able to get it a little bit earlier than that. It might be summer. Anyway.
Okay.
So yeah, then we went and... Then I had to go on an emergency trip to get some contact lens solution because I'd... squirted all my contact lens solution down the little sink at Bristol Airport, thinking I'll just buy some on the other side because I couldn't quite fit it into my clear plastic bag. Forgot to buy any. And then I had to put my contact lenses in water. And if anyone has ever had contact lenses and decided to leave them, oh my God, it's, I knew what I was, as I did it, I was like, oh, I'm just giving myself agonies for tomorrow morning. So the following morning, you put them in and it just feels like you're stabbing your eyes. It's just the worst feeling. It's so, so, so uncomfortable. Anyway,
I found some information for you, just in case it ever happens to you again in Spain.
Yes, what?
Solución para lentes de contacto.
Holly, that's amazing.
Thank you. I Googled it.
Well, can I say that when I did find my farmacia or farmacia, I walked in and I just sort of went, contact lens? I think I said, like in a kind of like this. And this woman just looked at me, head to one side, and she went, we don't sell contact lenses. And I said, no, the solution. She went, yes, well, we've got the solution. We've got two types. What do you want? And like, not even a hint of accent. And I was like, right, sorry.
Oh, well, I guess the difficult thing about Barcelona is they speak Catalan.
Yeah.
And Castellano Spanish, don't they? So there's the two types of Spanish.
Yeah.
So it's confusing. Yeah.
Which would be confusing were it not for the fact that everyone spoke English to us.
Really?
And everyone was absolutely lovely. You certainly didn't get any kind of snotty Parisian, yes, we speak English, you awful person.
Yeah.
You didn't get any of that kind of feel about it at all. They were all just very, very lovely.
So hard to ask somebody something in French and then they go... would you like a Fanta lemon or a normal lemonade? Like, yes, I practiced that for so long.
I know. It's so true. So true. So they weren't like that at all. They were really, really lovely.
I was going to say, you skimmed over slightly going for dinner. Can you tell me some of your culinary highlights?
That was a nice dinner, but that wasn't the highlight of the dinner because that was like in the hotel. Okay. So that was, it was lovely. And it was a kind of a buffet experience and it was really nice. And we managed to kind of rinse as much carver out of them as possible. Mm-hmm. So that was good times.
Nice. I'll hold fire for the culinary delights.
I have skimmed over breakfast was amazing. Breakfast was definitely one of those breakfasts where there's like eggs, whichever way you want, if you were an egg kind of person.
Is there an egg person
there was an egg person.
I love an egg person.
But it did lead to like, I was on a table of maybe six or seven people and we were talking about egg people and going to hotels where there are egg people. And someone was saying, oh yes, but have you ever been to a hotel where there's a waffle person? And we're like, what's this? And someone had been to a hotel where there's like a waffle guy and someone who would like whip up a waffle or pancake to your choice.
Oh my God. I have had a pancake person when we went to Mauritius last year, which was obviously amazing. There was an egg person. Nice. And because it wasn't your bog standard European omelette, that was quite nice. They were like putting chili and spring onion and stuff. It was really, really good.
That's great. Nice. That's nice.
Spicy omelette.
Excellent. Spicy omelette.
But yeah, they had a crepe person as well.
Oh,
it was good.
This did not have a crepe person, but it did have a smoothie person. So I was able to have like a green ginger type, you know, one of those kind of things where you think you're doing yourself loads of good, but you're probably not. But those.
Board included, was it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I know. I was loving it.
I'm loving hearing about this.
So I loved that so much. And I went up three times. That breakfast was, I had three courses basically and had like lots of fun times, knowing that the following day I would be having a bit of dry toast. So I thought I'm going to make the most of this particular breakfast. So yeah, we did that. And then we went to the expo to pick up numbers, which was fine. It was like, it was interesting. Actually, I was speaking to a guy from Brooks and he was like, oh, is this like any other expo you've been to? And actually it kind of wasn't, because it wasn't as big as like I remember Berlin. Do you remember the massiveness of Berlin?
Aircraft hangar. Mm. Can I just say, I don't know whether this is not very sportswomanly of me on this podcast to say, oh, I just find going and picking up bibs from an expo the most dull thing in the world.
It's such bollocks. Okay. Bollocks.
Just send it to me. I know you want me to go around and look at all the shoes and stuff. Yeah. But no, I'm not going to buy shoes the day before a race. So please just send it to me and leave me be.
So, you know, absolutely. I totally agree with you. And in terms of environmental impact, I mean, you know, London Marathon have an expo every single year and you cannot run the London Marathon unless you go to the expo and pick up that bib number. And in so doing, they not only do you have to go, but there's a little kind of circuit that you have to walk in order to get your bib number.
Like having to go through the duty free in an airport.
Exactly that. Mm-hmm. You can't get your number and go. You have to get your number. You have to walk all the way through and then you go out. And they're trying to make it like more of an event so that there are, you know, there are talkers. And maybe I should be really careful here because I think I have been asked to talk at the London Marathon Expo, which is fine. But you don't get many people staying there all day or deciding to stay there specifically because of a talk, because people are really, really super nervous, as you can imagine.
I was going to say, not what you want to be doing. And the only times, I suppose I've not been to London to the expo there, but the only times I've been to expos, obviously we went to Paris and then I've been to Berlin and New York with you, that I've been in I've been fortunate enough to be doing an abroad race, like an abroad wedding. And it's like, you don't want to go and sit and love it, but you don't really want to go and sit and listen to somebody bang on about, like, you want to go up the Empire State Building or to the Arc de Triomphe or something, don't you? Because it's like, you're only there for a limited amount of time. And that feels like the boring job where it's like, okay, quick, just grab my expo thing. Maybe there are people who are nerdier than me about running stuff that would love to spend ages walking. If you're someone who loves expos, write in. Explain yourself.
And actually, the thing is, while we were there, I could see people that were definitely massively enjoying it. You know, they were kind of writing their names on a board and they were getting their photos taken against a backdrop which said, you know, the Barcelona Half Marathon, and genuinely interested in shooting. They'd done quite a good thing of making sure there was loads of food by the exit. So, okay. You know, all that adrenaline, getting your number or getting your t-shirt, blah, 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 and then coming back and then just thinking, actually, I'm starving, let's get some chips or whatever. And so that was all kind of catered for, and that was pretty good. But yeah, it was kind of a bit of a non-event, and it is a bit like, it was quite far out as well, so it's like, it's getting people to travel.
They always
along.
Are.
Yeah, that Berlin one was mentally far away, wasn't it?
And mm-hmm. And they're like, don't do too much walking the day before your race, but come 45 minutes walk away to this old abandoned barn. We promise nothing bad will happen to you.
Yeah, and the same is true of Paris, wasn't it? Paris was crazy. That was far away, and
really far away.
I now can't even remember New York.
New York was quite far. It was like Hudson, near the Hudson.
I've wiped that from my memory.
Once again, like all of those things, it was in like a sort of industrially bit by the Hudson River, I remember.
And we got a bit lost coming back. Yes, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
no, it's just like... Anyway, it's weird, isn't it? But I guess it's a way to try and kind of claw back some cash or something. But anyway, we did that. And then almost immediately afterwards, we went to that lovely park in the afternoon. So that's where we did that. I did that day, I did 20,000 steps. It was just ridiculous. So
you can't
keep off your feet the day before. I think it's fine if you're doing a half.
I don't really want to do a marathon, even though I know we've talked about Dublin and like I would really like to, but I'm just a bit nervous about the idea of doing a marathon abroad because I know that it's going to be impossible unless you fly in the night before. And then maybe you, because obviously they're normally on Sundays, maybe you take a couple of days in lieu, or you take holiday Monday and Tuesday or something so that you can have a nice couple of days. Maybe that's a thing that you could do, but
I think if you're really
made me want to go to Barcelona so far, but expo.
Yeah. no, don't make that a point of like, that's not a tourist destination. But all of that, it did make us like, there were loads of stuff that we were seeing, and because we were only there, we had like one chance to do sort of cultural stuff, and that was kind of it because we were there for such a short amount of time. And it would be wonderful to go back and to do loads more bits. There was a bit like, I know this is gloomy, but we drove past the cemetery on the way to get to the expo, and it's absolutely massive.
Ooh.
It's the biggest cemetery I've ever seen, and there's all the different kinds of, like, you know, you can get your classic grave, and then there's the more sort of Italian thing where it's like the kind of, you know, buildings, and then there's all the ones that look like sort of little boxes on top of each other, and it was just quite sort of beautifully laid out and big and all this sort of thing. And I was looking up all the information about it as we were driving past it, and apparently everyone from Barcelona thinks it is completely mystified why anyone would want to go there that's a tourist, because obviously for them it's like that's where you go to kind of pay your respects sort of thing and whatever, but tourists go there all the time because it's phenomenally huge, and it's things like that. All of that was amazing. And we had a little run on Saturday morning. I forgot to say that. We went, me and the UK contingent, we went for a little run alongside the waterfront, ostensibly to see the sunrise, but we'd kind of missed that by the time we left.
Good.
I saw on
your Strava. I hate to say this because I know quite a lot of you follow me on Strava, and that's very kind, and I've loved your kudos in the past, but for some reason I get anxious about other people seeing my runs because I don't want people to be like, slow, crap. I know that's not what people would think, but my stupid brain says that. So I set my runs to appear as private now, so you may not have seen, but I've been stalking everybody else. And yeah, I spotted that you'd done a cool run along the kind of
beach last time
I went for one.
Actually, maybe talking about Strava could come up as a separate topic, because actually that is something that I've been considering doing too, because I do feel quite weird about it, about
people just sort of checking where I've run and what I've done and how I've done it and things. Particularly because I feel quite rude about it, because I don't have Strava notifications on, but I understand that other people do, because as soon as I finished a run, within seconds, people have given me kudos, which is very, very sweet and lovely and everything. But I never, ever give kudos to anyone else because I don't get notifications. So I forget to go on there.
Yeah.
So it's just sort of like, you know,
mine is just a place to record the distances of my runs. Because I haven't got a sports watch at the moment, which is why I hadn't used it for ages, because I was using a Garmin and now I don't have it. So I've just been using Strava to measure. And then I get worried that people leave such lovely comments and people are really kind, and I almost don't want people to feel like they have to do that. So I took it private because I didn't want, don't want to be getting in my head. I love running thinking that there's all of you guys listening, cheering us on, and vice versa. I love that we've got this community to do that with, but I do get nervous about everybody who listens to our podcast is very kind, so nobody would do this, but there's a little part of my brain that's like, oh, what if there was like a mean person who was like, oh, Holz has got a bit shit, hasn't she? She's slower than she was last year or something.
Even if they just keep those thoughts internalized, but
regardless, I'm sure even if you don't have people that don't know that you don't know so well following you on Strava, you still have that same fear that there's just a bit of a, like, you don't necessarily want, some people love, I think, to have their stuff looked at, and some people don't, and I'm just one of those people. I'm not hugely active on social media, and I never have been. I don't really like putting stuff like that about my life, and especially because I'm slow. That's just an insecurity that I... But yes, let's talk about Strava properly another time. And I'm very interested in everybody else's views, because what do you guys prefer? Are you a hider like me? Do you like to put your runs on private because you don't want Mr. Jones down the road, who sometimes snoops on your thing going, oh, she's a bit slower than she was when she did that last?
Yeah.
Or do you like to put it public and get the kudos?
Yeah. Yeah, I want to know what people like, because I have conflicting views about it. But anyway, yes, I did do that, and it was really lovely. But I think I should cut to the race now.
Yeah, take me to race day. Yeah.
So race day, following day, shit breakfast, all of that. But it was really nice. There was the UK contingent that had gone there with Brooks. There's maybe 5 or 6 people, and most of them much speedier than I was. So kind of very, very briefly spotted at breakfast. I was a bit of a hero, actually, because I had come with extra safety pins and I had to help furnish the safety pins out. So I was quite pleased. I was able to help people in a very, very small way. So did that. And then, so the race, it was, I think, probably the nicest, that's a terrible adjective, isn't it? The best looking course for a city half marathon I've ever done, I'd say.
Can we look it up? I'm going to look up the course because I want to know now. Having been to Barcelona once in 2009, I'm now like, oh, does it go down Las Ramblas? But I do want to know.
I've forgotten about Las Ramblas. Yeah. Las Ramblas. Well, so like... So Paris,
the capital of Europe. Yeah.
I know we were given lots of warnings. Like the Paris half marathon we went on, I really liked that route, but it was slightly disappointing because you got to see no actual sights, right? That's what I remember about the Paris one.
It was a lovely run, but I do remember we were all a little bit disappointed when we actually arrived in Paris and went to the expo and saw the route for the first time. We were all like, "Oh, okay, it's at the beginning and end, you got a bit of classic Paris, but the rest of it was basically round the Bois de Vincennes, wasn't it? So, looking at this, you go past, you can see the,
it's amazing.
The Sagrada Familia from this route.
Was all absolutely incredible. Yes, you can. It was just amazing. So Paris was like that, with loads of wood which you weren't expecting to run through. And Berlin, I loved Berlin because of the wide roads, and there's quite a lot of East Berlin in it, so there's quite a lot of kind of like what I would term sort of new build rather than classic build, but kind of all that kind of architecture and all sort of juxtaposed and all kind of, you know, and all that, you know, that history, which feels like quite modern history and kind of all the Cold War stuff. All of that's fascinating and has its own kind of beauty. But I'd say that Barcelona was more classically beautiful than either of those two things. And you've got, they've just done a really, really clever and
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Beautiful route. Where there's
it.
There was, it felt like only one switchback, which was really nice. So there's only one bit where you see other runners that are running faster than you, because that's, I hate that feeling. And that happened in Brighton half, maybe four times, where you're constantly sort of going up and down and up and down and up and down and constantly mm-hmm. seeing runners that are running faster than you, a mile ahead or 2 miles ahead or whatever. And that only happened once. And the rest of it was all quite sort of straight, not too much kind of curving around corners. But it was, for the vast majority
like
of it.
It looks like a lovely route. Just, is that the right one?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, even just looking at the map.
I found it online and yeah, it does look like a really nice loop.
Oh my God. So most of it, it felt like was on really big, wide, tree-lined boulevards. Mm-hmm. So it felt very European, could be any decade. You know, it was mm-hmm. just like really, really lovely. And although it started out being quite windy, it then brightened up and it was really sunshiny and lovely. And then kind of cut to the end sort of thing. The last 2 miles, you're running along beachfront. And that was beautiful. It was like bright blue skies, beach, palm trees, all of that. And you had that for 2 miles. And then you sort of swing a right and you're running up. And actually, we all talked about it afterwards. None of us were expecting this at all, that you swung a right up a main road, another lovely, beautiful boulevard. And right in front of you was Sagrada Familia. So you sort of turn a corner and it's like in the last mile, I guess, last couple of kilometers, that you suddenly see that it was too far away for when I was doing my shaky cam footage. You couldn't really see it, but it was definitely there.
Yeah.
And that was really beautiful. And then you turn back and there's the end and that's it kind of thing. And it was so, and it was,
I want to do it. It
was
really
gorgeous. You would have loved it. You would have loved it. And also, apart from one tiny, tiny incline that where you can see the beginning and the end of it, and everyone swore about it because it was 2 miles before the end. Everyone was like, oh, fucking hell. But apart from that, it was pancake flat, like super flat. Mm. And so it was just, and there was even one stretch where it was just like, oh, whoa, we're going down here. This is really quite nice. So it's like super, super flat. So you could see people were breaking PBs all over. I mean, I wasn't, but there was, people were so thrilled around me that they kind of crushed PBs and done this and the other. So it's, yeah,
okay.
So it was gorgeous.
I'm doing it. Done.
Do it.
It's done.
Do it. It's lovely. It's amazing. It's amazing. So I really, really, really liked it. From that perspective, I really, really liked it. From a personal running perspective, I found it really hard. I found it super hard.
Did you?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I just, I think I'm probably 24 hours away. I keep on saying this, but I think I'm 24 hours away from getting my period. And okay, that's been hanging over me.
We need to stop having races that line up with that for you.
What can you do though?
Why is that a theme in your life? Because it's
I don't know. So that was one thing. And I've got I've got a bit of a hip niggle. So I've got a pain there. But I was also, I mean, as you know, I was really nervous about running this race because I felt a bit undertrained. And I don't think I was particularly, but it's just
I don't think you are undertrained. I think that you just have got a lot on psychologically and a lot of other races to think about. So you weren't, I guess the last few races you've had quite a clear training block where you've gone, this is the thing that I'm pushing towards. Whereas this slightly cropped up and you haven't necessarily been training specifically towards it. You've got other things going on. So I imagine psychologically it was a bit like,
It was. And I think because like most of the halves I've done in the last sort of 2-3 years or whatever, they've been that I've sort of plopped them in before a marathon. And I've almost always with all of them run longer than 13 miles in training before I've got to the half marathon. So worrying about the distance has been the last thing on my mind. But this one, although I'd done 12 miles before it, I was really worried about it because I'd done my long runs have been something like going working backwards, they'd been like 12, 9, 8, 6 or something like that. So it didn't feel like I'd done enough. And my hip began to really, really hurt. And so I've done something there. It's hip, glute, don't know what it is. Something. I just need to get someone to have a poke and figure out what it is.
Okay. That sounds like what I get. If I basically every time I run longer than about 10 miles, I think it's that I don't, and I don't think this is you because you're stronger than me, but I'm starting to wonder whether mine is like overall strength that like I just like core and stuff like that, that I just don't have the strength to like psychologically and cardiologically. I'm pretty good with stamina, but I think strength-wise, it just goes no after a certain point, and then I'm sort of lolloping around, and then obviously it starts to you're compensating for various things, and it always tends to be whatever it is that I do to compensate after that particular point when my core gives out a bit. I seem to always feel it in my right hip.
Yeah, Yes, there's something, and to be honest, actually, the strength training. That does feel like a bit of a niggle, like because I know that the happiest I felt after half marathons have been in those occasions where I've run longer than half marathon distance in training, but also when I've been very, very religious about doing my strength training. And although that's crept back up again, I'm still really only doing it about once a week. So So my next half is Bath half, and that's the 24th of March, didn't we decide? I think it was.
I think it's the 17th.
Oh, Jesus, I keep on getting it wrong.
I think it's the 17th.
Oh, fuck's sake. Let me see.
Is that right?
Is it? Oh, God, yeah, you're right. Okay, 17th of March. Fair enough. Okay, so 17th of March. So I've got time between, I've got a month. And I think the big things I want to do is make sure I do my yoga and make sure I do my strength training as well as concentrating on my long runs, but nothing more than that.
Yeah. So, I will join you on making sure that I do my strength training. I literally was supposed to do that today in my little training plan that I've written for myself. And instead I did yoga because I was like,
Yoga is strength.
Exactly. And it did actually feel like strength. Like I did feel there was quite a lot of warrioring, and I went for a run yesterday and I can definitely feel it a bit in my quads. Actually, I'll do my tiny running bit. It's really not exciting. It's really not exciting, but I feel like I should keep you all updated that I'm sure next week I'll be singing a different tune because I'll have entered into my luteal phase or something. But for the last couple of weeks, I've been really, really loving my training for New York just because I don't know. It feels really nice to be back in the swing of having a goal again and following a bit of a pattern. I really think as well, because I was like, why am I enjoying these runs at the moment when I have kind of struggled the last couple of times that I've done that I've had like a big race in the calendar? As we know, I've freaked out and been like, oh, about all the training and whipped myself up into a frenzy. I was like, why am I enjoying this? Why is this working really well for me this time? One thing that I really think might be helping is breakfast. I think whether it's a placebo effect or whether it's actually really helping, I'm just finding it much easier to go, right, let's go. So I haven't been going first thing in the morning, which was my initial plan. I was like, oh, I've been quite enjoying running in the mornings at the moment. I'll do that. But actually, what I've found that's worked really well instead is getting up, having a bowl of porridge and some coffee, and then doing a bit more like you do, either late morning or lunchtime. Yours is a bit is a bit earlier than that, isn't it? But I've been sort of waiting an hour or two for that to digest, and then I've been going out. And I will probably have to start changing that as the runs get a little bit longer and I don't quite have so much time in the middle of the day to be able to do it. But at the moment, the longest one I've done so far is 3 miles. And it's I've found it all touch every single thing that's wood around me. I found it all really enjoyable. And I've also been trending faster, according to Strava. I discovered that my 5K that I did on the weekend was the it just felt really good, and then I looked back and it is my it's not my fastest 5k, but it's my it was my fastest that I'd done like leading up to a train, like at the beginning of a training block, if that makes sense. It's the fastest I've ever been starting training
at this time.
This time. So and that felt quite good.
How did you feel then, like did you run the whole way or did you run walk?
No, I ran. I've been running the whole way for everything. It's porridge, Esther.
Amazing.
I think I just feel a bit fitter than I have done before, because the last couple of times we've done it, I'm such an off-on person that I'll have just basically done very little between having to train for something and not. And so my fitness does slip quite a bit, but I have been trying, mainly for mental health reasons, over Christmas to kind of keep doing the odd plod, keep doing a bit of strength. Obviously, I did all that strength training last year. I've done absolutely fuck all for the last month, but I had been working on my strength, and I have still been doing yoga, which, as you say, is strength, even if it's slightly easier to stomach strength. And yeah, I don't know. I just feel a little bit like generally a bit better, a bit more comfortable in my own skin, and a bit. I'm just finding it a bit easier. Cut to me next week where I do my 4 mile this weekend, and I'm like, I'm not doing it. Screw it. That was horrible. Maybe I'll say that, but at the moment, I'm enjoying it.
We'll see how it goes. But like, I was when I was away, I in Barcelona. Have I told you about that? I spoke to
in Barcelona. That's what we people who've been to Barcelona call it. Barcelona.
Barcelona. when I was talking to lovely Emily, and she was going to be employing a walk-run method for Barcelona Half. And I made sure I asked afterwards how she divided it up, because she came in with a massive PB. She shaved off something like, I think I might be right. I hope I'm not kind of misrepresenting her, but I think she came in at 2:30, and I think that her previous best had been like 2:38, 2:39, something like that. So it was she'd cut loads of time off, and she had planned to do shorter kind of splits, basically.
Yeah.
So instead of doing like 10-minute run, 1-minute walk, she was doing 3-minute run and 1-minute walk. And she did a little video, she did an incredibly well put together video afterwards. And she sort of says, you have to be so kind of strong within yourself in terms of the choices that you've made in the early stages of the race. Because she said, she says on video,
Paris.
That it feels really, really weird to be walking when everyone else is just basically setting off. And you're doing it at the kind of 3rd minute or whatever. But then it cut to her doing it when they were at sort of like 15K or 18K or something. And she's going, oh, now it's fine because loads of walkers now. So it's all right to do it now.
Yeah, that was my experience with Paris too. It was so strange to start with. And it was me and Kate. Yeah. And then there was also a lovely listener called Sonia. It was Sonia who was doing the run walk. She was also run walking, and that really gave me strength, because I was like, okay, if you know, we're just sticking to our plans rather than going out all in. I actually thank you very much to loads of listeners who reminded me that I did 5 minutes running, 1 minute walking.
Oh, was that what it was in Paris?
That was what I did in Paris. And that's similar. It was like going for shorter bursts.
Felt too early. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was good. It was really good. It worked really well. And I really enjoyed it. And I didn't feel like it, like we said, it didn't add nearly as much time as I was expecting to my previous half marathon PB. And it psychologically, it was fab.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So anyway, but I mean, obviously your training is going incredibly well. So that's really
so
good.
So far.
But
I'll tell you, so far.
It does bring us on to something we were going to talk about as well, because you mentioned you'd run a 5K at the weekend.
Yeah. Oh, which brings us a great segue.
Thanks. Cheers, Hall.
Well done.
Which brings us on quite neatly to parkrun, because much to be discussed, and I don't think we've even got enough time left now to talk about this. But
don't we have a jingle that's like us being like, what in the world is going on, or something like that?
Yeah, we have got what in the world. Let's do what
if
in
we
the world.
Can find it. Let's do it for this.
Okay.
What in the world?
What in the world is happening?
Nice.
Right, back in the room. So, parkrun. You are best placed to tell the lovely listener, I think. You wrote the piece. So
I did write a news story, though it was very quick and dirty. I just wanted to get something up before it was too late.
Yeah. So let's hear. What's going on with Parkrun?
So Parkrun have taken the records off the website. Not all of them. I'm actually going to consult my news story so that I can tell you specifically what it is that they're
doing. I could see you were hesitating there.
They've removed the records from the website, but it's not like you can still click on individual people and it will still tell you what like personal records and stuff are. But what they have removed specifically are speed records from the official website, age and category records, this is interesting, data of men who run under 17 minutes and women who run under 20 will also be removed. So all the stuff that you're used to getting in your stats email and stuff, you'll still receive. And the online event pages and the like personal pages will remain the same. But yeah, the speed records basically are the main thing that's going, and that applies to age and like gender category and stuff.
So why have they done it then?
Well, they've done it, as far as I'm aware, that what they have said is that they've done it to be less off-putting. There is speculation that I guess we should briefly touch on, because a lot of people have been talking about it. Though making it very clear that Parkrun have said that this is not why they've made this decision, because I think there was like a think tank that went on that discussed the fact that there were three records that were held by trans women, and there was a lot of discussion there about like what this think tank thought Parkrun should do with those records, whether they should be allowed to remain in the female category, or whether they should have to do something else with them. But this is not, according to Parkrun, why they've made this decision. They have said that it's to do with putting off new entrants. And therefore, I would go so far as to boldly say that it was because of us.
It's because we whinged about it.
There has been quite a lot of, it's been really interesting, because within our audience, on socials and on the Discord, there's been quite a lot of Discord. Oh,
that's why they call it that.
Because I think there are quite a lot of people who feel as though it's that's what Parkrun's for. It is a timed event. A lot of people seem to be in what I would argue, which is probably, and I know I feel differently to a lot of you, and I'm sure we're going to get emails about it, but I feel like it's always been to me a bit contrary to Parkrun's philosophy and sort of mission statement that they are a free timed event, or a free event, free running event, and that isn't a race. And I've been pulled up by Parkrun by for calling them, referring to them as a race in news stories and things before, where like members of the press team or whatever have got in touch and been like, can you please remove any reference that we were a race? So to me, it's always felt weird that they are so determined to keep that word out of all of their messaging, but that they have that, but that it does, it feels highly competitive in terms of the race times.
And but I guess the thing is,
What do you think?
Well, number one, it doesn't change anything. So it's riled me slightly to watch people getting riled about it. And I just think it changes nothing. You can run parkrun and you can run it in whatever way you want to run it. So it doesn't change. It doesn't change any of that. But I mean, I was reading something earlier, which I was agreeing with, which was some guy was saying the people that it's angering are the people for whom parkrun isn't really for. So, you know, the people it's not really for are, you know, I say it's not really for, obviously it's supposed to be for everybody.
I know, but that's the difficult thing.
There are a load of runners that run it to get PBs, but there are also like the elites that are running it in like, you know, 17, 16, 15 minutes. Those people are not the people that are going to be coming back every Saturday to their local parkrun to bust out another 15-minute 5K. Those people tend to have a GB vest and they've got track sessions and they'll have, you know, distance sessions and they'll, you know, they will be racing. They will occasionally bless parkrun with their presence and try and bash out some kind of massive record. But parkrun has never really been for those people. And that has to be the minority of people that run it, right? And so for the rest of us, we're talking about our own PBs, our own competitiveness with ourselves, not necessarily with anyone else that's running the race. And if we can still access all of that information anyway, what's the palaver? Who cares?
I'm so with you. For people who do personally feel like they want to keep it as a timed challenge themselves, that's some things that I've seen people sort of saying online, is that that, you know, for them it's a really nice opportunity to go and have a 5K timed, and to then, like, that's still going to be the case. You're still going to get your information sent to you in your stats afterwards. It's just not going to be publicly shared in a way that I definitely do agree could be hugely off-putting to people who have heard, say you're doing Couch to 5K and someone goes, parkrun's a great thing to do your first 5K at, and you go, all right, let me look up my local one, and then you look it up and you see that Mrs. Smith from down the road has done it in 15 and a half minutes or something, making her the next Ailish McColgan, and you're like, oh bloody hell, if that's the sort of like timings that we're talking about. And I know I have very limited parkrun experience. I know that I've been to Cardiff one actually, and I've been to Bath, and we happened to go to quite a speedy Bath one, but I was still maintain that I was shocked at the branding and messaging that parkrun put across as to what kind of event they are compared to the type of runner that actually was attracted to participate. I do think that there was, anecdotally, this is all not, I haven't got real world evidence for this, but I certainly felt that it would be off-putting to beginner runners, and there weren't a huge amount of beginner runners there, which led me to believe that perhaps they were being put off in some way. And a couple of people have said, I won't name them because I haven't asked you if I can use your things, so terribly sorry, I won't name and shame you for it, but I will say it anyway, that I've seen two people chiming in on this on our Discord just in the last day or two, saying that they've had some really negative experiences at parkrun, and not to suck us off too much, but saying that we have made the conversation that we've had around parkrun has made it easier to not feel alienated when you do have negative experiences. And somebody else who also said that they got it's a bit similar to Ruby, who wrote in and gave us this initial kicked things off initially for us talking about parkrun, saying that they recently got screamed at by somebody who
thought that they slowed down too soon at the end and got in their way. And I just think that all of that is evidence of an event that seems to have lost its roots. Whatever people like to use it for, it certainly seems to have drifted a little bit from its initial purpose. And it sounds like they're making efforts to get it back to what they would like it to be as organizers. But
yeah,
that's my biased opinion.
I think parkrun is really, really tricky. It's like when we were talking about it a few months back, and we were sort of saying, does it necessitate a separate event? And it doesn't. It's just that I think the people that have grown out of it need to accept that they've grown out of it, and it's tricky because when it was first, you know, when it first came about, like that kind of Bushy Park parkrun. Mm-hmm. That was a speedy number. That was really for like chaps in their 30s, and you know, it was for like speedy people trying to outdo each other.
And yeah, sorry, lots of sexual innuendos going on.
It's terrible,
one.
Isn't it? but you know, they were desperately trying to do PBs every week, and it was kind of a way of kind of using it as a tempo training session. And obviously, because it was a successful experiment and it's exploded globally. That's not another sexual innuendo.
I said suck us off earlier, and I'm still embarrassed about it. So don't worry, it's fine. You can say that.
and I can talk about global explosions. So, and because it's done that, and because they've realised the kind of unique kind of mass popularity of it. That's when they've tried to sort of ensure that it's much more populist, that it's much more inclusive, and I applaud them completely for that, and I think it's wonderful. And I know I do understand that a lot of the things that we've been put off by have been competitiveness that is internal and not anything that anyone has pushed upon us. It's absolutely fine if we come last in a race. It's just our own egos that are bruised. Yeah, it's no one else is making us feel like shit. It's just our own selves. That said, I think doing what they've done here is a lovely step, personally speaking, in terms of making it what it actually is and making it truly inclusive and really pushing for that kind of, you know, let's use it as a method at which we can kind of create more opportunities for people that wouldn't otherwise move to move.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think it can...
Exactly. It's reframing, I think, gives them the opportunity to reframe what they're measuring the success of the event as. Because if those are the stats that you first see, then of course that's going to gear you towards thinking that the aim of it is to run it as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you see something about how many people participate in this one, or how many of them are returning park runners, how many of them are on their 250th run or something, I just think that those sort of numbers are still things to be hugely proud of that might help other people realize that this is an event that is encouraging participation rather than encouraging a particular speed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just means that we were right all along.
I personally think that could be a thing here.
Have we instigated real change, Hol? No.
Oh, no. They probably never heard of this in their lives. But yeah, I am excited to go to parkrun again soon. I have made that one of my little resolutions to myself and to the pod squadders, because there are so many of you, actually, though we tend to be relatively well aligned on things in life. We don't tend to all share the same opinion about parkrun. We've all got very differing opinions. And want to do more market research this year.
Let's do that.
Let's.
I can't wait to do another parkrun, actually, after all we've said. I think it would be fun. Also, I think, you know, the last time we went was a very long time ago, and I think it was just in a bit of an uplift after all the time off from COVID. So that's why we had fewer people. And our parkrun is particularly beautiful, but it is right next to the university. And our university is a sport university.
There are a lot of people there who are using it as their, probably for exactly the same reason that we've...
Mm.
just said, where they're probably using it as one of very many training sessions in mm-hmm. the week as a bit of a time trial thing, which is fine. You can't stop people from doing. I think you certainly can't stop people from doing that. And that is obviously what those people should be just as entitled to participate in Park Run as me. But I think suggesting that one of those should be more celebrated than the other is the problem that I have.
I think that's very well put. Yeah. And I think that is yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. But, you know, anyway, we won that particular campaign, political campaign, from canvassing and wearing our rosettes and asking people to vote for us.
Throwing ourselves in front of horses, etc.
Locking ourselves in cupboards and
not
filling out the census. All the stuff.
I did have some embarrassing moments, but I almost wonder whether, am I dangling them in front of people's face if I don't say them now that I've said that?
Why didn't you give us, why didn't you give us one?
I'll give you one.
Give us one.
This is a naughty smutty episode,
isn't it? Awful. Dirty.
Also, I keep thinking about it, and this is really weird, but because I feel like we're all a gang now, when something's happened in my life and I haven't told everybody on the pod about it, I feel weird. Yeah. Do you want to hear something that I did yesterday?
Yeah, go on.
I was unloading the dishwasher and I was doing it in a hurry. And I moved my arm down to grab the utensils out of the little utensil basket that lives in there.
Oh, yeah.
And a fork prong.
Oh, no.
Went between my nail and my thumb. I know. It's so painful. Yeah. So I've been feeling a bit sorry for myself and I keep looking at it and being like, oh. Anyway, sorry. Okay. Why did I say that? I just don't felt like I needed to tell you all. there are so many brilliant stories from you guys, but yes, I will read a quick one. This was one of my favorites.
Lovely.
This is Catherine.
She's already gone. This is it.
Okay. Hi, Esther and Holly. Love the podcast. Been listening since episode one and it never fails to bring a smile to my face. Thanks. I'm sorry, I really am. A theme of this episode is self-love by reading everybody's compliments too much. But thank you very much, Catherine. That is incredibly kind and I'm very glad. I thought you might like my wall of shame story. It's a walking one, but still it was in the great outdoors. We were walking through a wood, my friend decided to wee in said woods. I hopped over a stile into an open field. I did a quick look around and thought the coast was clear. Mid-wee, I happened to glance up to make eye contact with a glider pilot flying directly towards me. He looked amused. Now I always check around and above. And above before attending to the call of nature. Keep up the great work and happy running, everyone. Oh, I love that one a lot.
Oh my God. I mean, that's also potentially incredibly scary, isn't it?
I know.
You think?
And rare.
I'd say that's kind of up there. You're gonna start thinking that you're Cary Grant in, is it North by Northwest, where he's chased along like a field by like a cropper?
Oh yeah, I have heard of that. Yeah,
like what is a glider doing that low? You know, I mean,
weird. Well, low enough that you can have eye contact with the pilot. Scary, creepy.
Creepy gliders. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, I blame the glider pilot.
Yeah, me too.
Why are you flying over fields and perving on women trying to go for a nature wee? Answer me. Right,
yeah,
in.
Exactly.
Who are you?
You're supposed to be gliding on some kind of thermal current. Go and fuck
maybe
off.
That's
the thermal current.
Maybe that's what happens. I guess like red kites. Sometimes sweep down for a mouse, don't they?
Do you think that's what he was doing? Sweeping down for
What do they do up there?
Maybe he was parking.
Yeah! Maybe he was trying to land. Oh my gosh. or swooping down for a mouse, other potential.
One of those two things only, or just a massive perv and was just trying to find women that were weeing in woods.
Oh my goodness. Honestly, it just wasn't what I was expecting. When it came in, obviously, every single one of them is hilarious, but we do, between us all, have quite a lot of being caught pissing stories. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, here we go.
Is it a dog walker?
Yeah. Is it blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I just really wasn't expecting a glider pilot.
Glider. Maybe we should make it more niche, like the weirdest people to have spotted us having a wild wee.
Yeah. Well, that's number one.
That now, number
if you can beat glider pilot, I'll be very impressed.
Oh, it's just so silly, the idea of the two of them like having eye contact while it's like hovering low. Like, and I just keep on imagining what when
I'm thinking she was completely alone.
I'm not being prepared to see this glider. And being sort of sat on the side of like an empty field. That's what I keep on thinking of it. It's just being this. Oh my god!
Like nothing of the miles.
Nothing
apart from this woman.
Oh my god!
Oh dear,
this must be awful audio speaking. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Because I'm actually not crying.
Well, it would have just been silence because, as I've been told by the listeners, that when we laugh, it sort of like, I think
totally
the mics
out,
sort of cancel it out. Yes.
Yeah. No, because not even silent. Our lovely microphones want to pick up on us cackling.
No. Oh, thank you very much, Catherine. That was absolutely iconic. Do write in wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk if you have further embarrassing stories. I mean, we barely touched the sides. We've only had one licking the bowl because so many weird things I'm saying this episode. Yes.
awful euphemisms. Back off. What have you been doing? Been reading Viz all morning or something.
Oh, I tell you what, it is Valentine's week. So
we're allowed to be smutty. Right, nice.
Yeah, we're allowed to be smutty.
Yeah.
I hope you're all
smashing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Enjoying the smut.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, well, happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Gone by the time this comes out, but I hope you're having a lovely Valentine's week.
Yeah. Very quickly. We need to go, but any plans?
Yeah. What, for Valentine's?
Yeah.
I got that one of those dine-in for £20 from Waitrose.
Oh, I'm going to do that. Mm. Absolutely excellent. I haven't done anything apart from I got Doug this card that says, I like your willy, and then Willy's crossed out and it says face.
Classic romance. Love it.
Anything else. I had to continue the theme because last year I got him We Make a Good Pair with a big nut sack on it. Anyway, raunchy episode.
Yes. Okay. Goodness me. I don't know what they've put in your porridge.
And browse my dine-in two for £20 now as well.
Do it. Go and enjoy.
And see what they've got.
See what they got.
Yeah. I'll see you later.
I tell you what they had. They had 4 cans of margarita as part of the deal. I know.
Perfect. Perfect, because it's a weeknight, isn't it? So you don't want to like 2 margaritas. I'll be sleeping well, but raring to go in the morning.
Oh, Jesus. She's doing it again. Right.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Please. Stop us. We must be stopped.
Thank you for listening. Come and join us on Patreon. You can get a ton of extra Pod Squad benefits from just £2 a month, including newsletters, live chats, and you can join our exclusive Discord community for friendly chat and support with like-minded women runners. Go to patreon.com/womensrunning to find out more. This podcast was recorded over Zencastr. The producer and composer
was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way you won't miss the next episode. And do please email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any questions or running stories, as we would love to include them in a future podcast. Happy running.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.